You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. It is finally Monday, folks, and we are here to talk about the things in life that make us happy, like TV and movies and comedy and song and dancing. Right, Aaron Zommers?
All of those beautiful things that make life worth living.
That is the voice of my good pal, Aaron Zommers, who is filling in tonight for the K-Man. Conrad is in Florida for a week now, and a week and a day. Aaron, he left us here in Wisconsin in the pretty mild weather for the most part, but yeah, he's not coming back for a while. He's going to be soaking up those rays.
That man likes to get around on vacation, and you know what? Good for him.
Absolutely. I was like, wait, you're going to be gone when? And then I look at him, I'm like, oh, I got all these vacation days I got to use too. But I've kind of said this before on the show. I don't know what to do with myself when I'm on vacation or even on weekends. So I like having a place to go. And I don't know. I think I just function better when I'm working. Does that make sense?
I do too, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well, I appreciate you filling in, buddy. It's great to work with you as always. Usually it's when I'm in Madison, but I appreciate you doing this long distance. I'm in the studio here in Green Bay holding down the fort. It's a gorgeous night here on Washington Street. Aaron is, what are you looking at temperature wise there, Aaron? What are we looking at?
I think it's in like the 50s. It was a lot colder for a few days. Last week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're all like 30, 34 maybe, but now we're in high 40s, low 50s.
That's not too bad. I mean, right? For late November?
Not bad at all, no.
I'll take that in a heartbeat. That's fantastic. So we'll do, did you have a good weekend?
I did. What did I do? I mostly just hung around at home, worked on some projects for work. With something that we're going to talk about later, most likely with board games.
Listen, I'm so excited because one of our questions of the night, I think it was probably last week, was about board games and what we asked people what their favorite board games were. And you just happened to be, was it a board game night or like some kind of
Yeah, I hang out with friends and play board games every other week-ish. And I didn't realize that was one of your questions, but I recorded asking my friends the same question, like, what's your favorite board or card game and why do you like it?
Dude, I love that. So what is your favorite board game?
Oh, I asked other people because it's hard for me to pick. There's so many I like. But, I mean, if I had to pick one, like, my favorite card game is definitely Magic the Gathering. But that's, you know, that's a whole can of worms. It's not something that's super easy for people to get into. So, I mean, it can be, but it's... there's a higher barrier to entry, a lot more rules to learn. So if I was going to pick a self-contained board game, you can just pick it up and play it. I would probably pick, I guess, Wingspan. Have you ever played that one?
No.
You have
I mostly played the classics. I don't know some of the newer ones.
Wingspan is basically competitive bird watching the game, which is a lot more fun than it sounds if you're not into bird watching. It's a beautiful game, a lot of gorgeous bird art. And you basically try to lay different eggs and get birds with different powers and build up your collection of birds and get more points than everybody else.
See, okay, I mostly know the classics. And sometimes I'm fascinated because when I play poker with some guys, I like the typical games. Whenever there's a guy that tries to describe a new game, in this day and age with phones, it's like in 30 seconds, you can see people's eyes glassing over. So right. I don't know how you take time to describe something like that. Like, you have to be a serious fan of games to want to learn something, which sounds kind of complicated.
Yeah, it's the thing about Wingspan in particular is that it sounds complicated and it looks complicated when you open it up and everyone has their own board and there's all these different cards. But once you play it, it actually is very simple to figure out.
Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, we're going to play. Aaron was nice enough to ask some of his fellow game. Are they gamers if they're board gamers, or does that only apply to video games?
That works. I think that works for board games too.
Still gamers, right? Okay, cool. So we'll do that. He put some audio together. We're going to hear that later in the show. A really fun show here tonight, folks. I'm almost sorry Conrad is on vacation because he is going to miss an absolute blast tonight. We have some great guests. Grant Fenster is going to be here. He's one of the producers of the new documentary, Bucky, which will debut December 2nd on PBS Wisconsin. And it's about the Bucky, the mascot of UW-Madison. So there's this whole history. He put this whole film together. Charlie Behrens is the narrator. So it's going to be really fun. I'm really looking forward to talking to him. He's done some great work, Grant has, and we'll talk about his new documentary, Bucky, at 5:35. That's a nice homegrown story here for us. And then in the second hour, our buddy Paul Vandenplas will be here. Paul is taking off in social media circles. He created a platform called Wonderfully Wisconsin, and he travels around our state, and he finds places that have good food or great scenery or something like that. And if you want to be proud to be a Wisconsinite, Paul is the guy, and you should definitely give him a follow on Wonderfully Wisconsin because he's really good and very talented at what he does. So Paul will be here. He's been here several times before. He's also, Aaron, I don't know if you're, do you like hamburgers?
I do.
Okay. Kind of a silly question. Who doesn't? But you might be a vegan or a vegetarian. But Paul is compiling a list of the top, I think it's the top 100 hamburgers in Wisconsin. I mean,
I remember hearing about that. And I had a discussion about it with, who did I all talk to? I don't remember exactly. But, you know, how do you go about that? That's a lot of hamburgers.
You know, at this point, Zomers, I'm just guessing he's probably like, why didn't I just do the top 10? Because 100 places, like, think of the gas money he's burning, all the different places he's going to around the state to find the best hamburger. And he was in Marinette at a place we have called Mickey Lou's. It's like an old style diner. It's just a great little place with a ton of charm, a ton of retro charm. And so anyway, Paul will be here. We'll talk to Paul and some Wonderfully Wisconsin in hour number two. And then this is exciting, and this is a great time to mention. We have this really fun screening coming up here next week, December 4th. The Godfather of Green Bay, a film I made about 20 years ago, will be screening at the Atwood Music Hall, a beautiful facility on December 4th. That's a Thursday. Doors open at 6. The show starts at 7. Sponsored by Downdrin's Distilling, great company right there in the Madison area. Also sponsored by the John and Gordy Morning Show on WMDX here at Civic Media. It's going to be great. Like I said, doors open at 6, shows at 7. And this is cool too, folks. A portion of the proceeds, I should say, go to the Dane County Humane Society. So it's for a good cause. It's going to be a really fun night. The film is a comedy that stars Tony Goldwyn, Lauren Holly, Lance Barber, Tom Lennon, me, Eric Price, Rob Martin, Steve Seeger, and Mike Siegel, all these guys you've heard on Nightlight before. Tracy Thorpe is this phenomenal actor we found in Chicago. And we're going to talk to Tom Lennon at 7:35 tonight. He is in the cast. Many of you might know Tom from Reno 911. He plays Lieutenant Jim Dangle, and he created the show, and he is one of the stars of the show. And I don't know if you know this, Aaron. Tom is as accomplished of an actor as he is, he's equally, or maybe even more so, prolific as a writer. Like, he wrote Night at the Museum, The Pacifier, all these great movies, Balls of Fury, Hell Baby. And in addition to TV shows, he's also, as an actor, he was on the Odd Couple reboot with Matthew Perry. The two of them were the lead actors. So Tom has had just an amazing career. And he is a Wisconsinite now. He makes his home with his wife and family in Lake Geneva. So Tom will join us at 7:35 tonight. We'll talk about The Godfather of Green Bay a little bit and hear from Tom a little bit about his experience. We shot up in Marinette, which is an hour north of where I am right now, and brought all these great actors to my little hometown of Marinette. It was an absolute blast. It's a feel-good, fun comedy. So hopefully you can join us out at the Atwood Music Hall on December 4th. Should be a really fun night. You going to be there, Aaron?
I am going to be there.
All right. So there you go. You get to meet Aaron Zommers. Conrad
for whatever
Kriegel.
That's worth.
Listen, that's a dollar of the ticket should go into your pocket for making an appearance. I can't promise that's going to happen, but I do appreciate heading out there that night. Conrad Krieger will be there getting sound bites and taking pictures and that kind of stuff. So you can meet Conrad. I know you can put, do you think, how many people do you think are curious? Because Con is kind of behind the scenes, right? He's sort of a man without a face to some.
I think, you know, he still does have a face because of the stream, but he does not always have his camera on. And,
true.
You know, I've had definitely, not that I go out and meet the people all that often, but the few times that I have met people who are listeners of the show, they're usually surprised how tall I am. I'm 6'2", which, you know, not that tall, but
I would have thought
tall enough.
I got to be honest. You're only 6'2"?
Yeah, I'm 6'2".
Can you dunk?
No, most definitely not.
Okay. So there you go. That's the show, folks. And tonight, I think, do we have time to do the question of the night? I think we do, right?
I think
we could do it after the break, too, either way.
But I don't have the music up right now, so.
Well, let's just do it. And then if we come back after the break, you want to play the music?
I got it. Yeah. I got it. Let's go.
Oh, fantastic. Aaron Zommers in the house, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
All right. The big day is right around the corner, folks. Thanksgiving is 3 days away. I'm excited. On some level, it's my favorite holiday. It's up there with Christmas, but either way, we are going to put away a few calories in a few days. So my question of the night to you is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? We all like the turkey, but to be honest, the turkey kind of has less taste than the sides. Turkey's kind of boring unless you load it up with gravy, salt, whatever. But I'm going to say mashed potatoes. I love mashed potatoes with melted butter, especially the way my mom makes them. So that is my favorite Thanksgiving side. But I want to know yours. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app, the Civic Media app, folks. Very easy to use, very easy to download. I highly recommend it. And if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X, you can leave us a stream comment too. Either way, get a hold of us, be part of the show. We'll read it on the radio. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side? Mr. Zommers, what do you say?
It's not going to make for the most interesting discussion in the world, but I'm going to have to agree with you and say that mashed potatoes are the best. They just are. Again, there's something about, especially if, you know, one of your parents is really good at making mashed potatoes. My yeah. mom's mashed potatoes are so creamy. She adds a lot of milk and butter, and it is delicious.
You almost don't even need the potato at that point when you have that much milk and butter.
You know, it's but just some starch to hold the butter and milk together. That's really all you need.
That's right. I was kind of going back and forth because I love good stuffing as well. I love a good dressing with the potatoes. Honestly, I almost don't need the turkey. All right, we are coming right back, folks, and I'm going to tell you why you should not make your bed first thing in the morning. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Text us, answer the question, be part of the show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That is awesome. That's the Bodines, buddy. Good pull.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen your film, The Godfather of Green Bay, yet, but I looked up the soundtrack and saw that there's a bunch of Bodines in it.
Yeah, Kurt Newman wrote a great score, and I was blown away because he had never written a score before, or so he said. And but they've had their music in other movies. It was the one of their songs, Closer to Free, was the Party of Five theme song. And then they had, I think it was Still the Night was in The Color of Money with Paul Newman and Tom Cruise. So their music is well represented in movies, but it was great of Kurt to give us some songs to use because music is so expensive when you make an independent film.
It really is.
Yeah, so that was a huge help. And unfortunately, I could not get Kurt to this event on December 4th because of his touring schedule, but I would have loved to have had him there playing some music and just sort of, you know, be part of the evening. So this is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks. It's a Monday, a short week here. I'm on tomorrow night and tonight. Aaron Zommers is riding with me while Khan is on vacation. Then we are off, but still have great shows lined up, specially put together shows Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So you can still be hopefully entertained, and then we'll be back live on Monday. But in the meantime, let me please try to entertain you and entertain me. I love your texts, folks. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? And, you know, Zommers and I both said mashed potatoes with butter, melted butter. You can't beat that. But I also thought of one, Zommers, pumpkin bread. I love my mom's pumpkin bread. Have you ever had pumpkin bread?
I don't know if I have. I have, but not in a long time, just because with baked goods, I often play it safe, having nut allergies. And a lot of times people like to pair pumpkin stuff with pecans.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. And you got to be careful. I didn't even, you know, like my sister's gluten free. She's making the meal this year just because of that, because she wants to be able to see what goes in. And I totally don't blame her. Like if you have, you know, celiacs or even like a nut allergy can be deadly, right? Have you ever had a reaction like that?
I have. I've only had to use my EpiPen once, and it was very weird. My leg kept twitching for a while, but hey, I lived, so.
There you go. Hey, folks, just a quick reminder, Giving Tuesday is right around the corner here. It's December 2nd. It is a global movement celebrating the power of generosity. A reminder that every act of giving matters. Civic Media believes this day is special, impactful, and essential. Our stations across the state will be highlighting and raising money for local organizations making a real difference. Be listening on December 2nd to learn how you can support your community on Giving Tuesday. That is a week from tomorrow, so that's exciting. Be sure to tune in then, folks. This is interesting. I saw this today. Have you ever heard people say you should make your bed right when you get out of bed in the morning? Like that's the way to start your day and get things. And a lot of people have said that can affect your whole day. So start off with something where you take control and something small, like even making your bed. Have you ever heard that?
I have heard that, but I don't always do that.
I don't always do it either. There's some days I don't even make my bed. So then I'll just pull the covers up and still crawl in like I made it, like I'm fooling myself. But I saw this today. It said, don't make your bed first thing in the morning because you shouldn't. At least as soon as you wake up, when you sleep, your body gives off heat and sweat that soaks into your bedding. So if you make the bed right away, like a lot of people do, maybe a lot of military people, I think that's a thing. I know it is with my dad. They say you seal in all that grossness. So you're supposed to let your bed air out for 30 to 60 minutes before making it. That seems excessive.
Maybe, but I don't know. Maybe you just don't sweat as much as the average sleeper, or maybe I sweat a lot more than the average sleeper. I don't know.
Maybe I don't care because it's my sweat, right? I mean, I guarantee you, if I don't make my bed right away, I'm not going in. The next time I go in there, it's probably going to be midnight when I'm going to bed.
I guess I usually do leave the covers open a bit. So I guess maybe I've been unintentionally following this advice, and I'll go eat breakfast and all that good stuff and shower. And then when I come back into my room to get dressed, then I'll flop the covers back over. When I make my bed.
There you go. You and I were talking about this earlier, AZ. The Slender Man stabber was captured after a nationwide manhunt. She wasn't gone. She didn't escape for that long. But I didn't know there was a manhunt underway. Did you?
I did, just because this weekend, one of my roommates saw the story and was all over it and kept giving us updates. And wow, for those of you listening who might not remember what exactly happened, several years ago, there were a couple of middle schoolers who went together to try to kill one of their friends in the woods to appease the made-up entity, the Slender Man, who was just a spooky made-up ghost story, basically. Luckily, they did not succeed, and this girl got medical help, and then these individuals ended up in jail. Now, one of them's out, was living in a group home, and got out over the weekend.
In Madison, right? Right, yeah. In Madison, and took off and was caught in Illinois. Didn't make it very far, but that is a miracle that the girl lived.
Yeah,
I mean, she was
really
stabbed
20-something times, I think.
Oh, my God, it's terrible. So, and this, you know, this perpetrator of the crime sounds like she's in the perfect atmosphere where she should be. But I don't, how do you get away from something like that? That's what I don't know.
And how, I don't know. Yeah, how do you get away from something like that? Just remove your ankle monitor and people not figure it out and track you down? I don't know. I don't know how you get one of those off anyway, but I guess I've never had to wear one. So, and I should be thankful for that.
Industrial grade scissors. But you cut it off and then you've still got to escape the facility, right? Like that's serious. I don't know. It's like escape from Alcatraz. Anyway. All right. We're going to read some text. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about the new documentary Bucky that you can see on PBS December 2nd. We're going to be talking with producer Grant Fenster. That is coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. If the things for you. Well done. Very well done, Mr. Zomers. You know, I almost said peas just to be different as a side, like as my favorite side for Thanksgiving. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Great to have you with me, folks, on this Monday night. Aaron Zomers filling in for Conrad Krieger, who is vacationing in beautiful, sunny Florida. I hope he sends pictures. So there you go. So do you have a second favorite side?
Ooh, I mean, my favorite thing to do with the sides, honestly, is to combine them. I know some people are very staunch food separationists, but I am not of that opinion. I feel like you set up a meal where all the sides taste good together. I want to eat them together. So I'll like take a roll, put some mashed potatoes on it, add a little bit of corn to that, maybe a piece of turkey ham, some gravy, and eat it as a little sandwich. I really like... You know, I like the combinations, but I would probably say that stuffing might be the next favorite just because, you know, you only really get to eat it on Thanksgiving and right after.
Right. Nobody ever makes stuffing throughout the year. Like you'll have potatoes throughout the year. You'll have peas, maybe even pumpkin bread for like morning and turkey and a sandwich. But nobody, I don't think, people just don't eat stuffing.
Certainly doesn't seem that way, no.
I never sit down with a big plate of stuffing when I'm watching a game or something.
I think maybe we should change that. We should start a campaign.
A little stuffing party with our board games. all right, folks, that's our question of the night is what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? Let me know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Be part of the show, and I will read your text on the radio. You can also text us on the app. Or on the stream, if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X Twitter, whatever they call it. Fun night tonight. Glad you're here. Tom Lennon will be here. Tom played Jim Dangle on Reno 911, and he wrote movies like The Pacifier, Night at the Museum, and he was also in The Godfather of Green Bay, which I wrote and directed, and that we will be showing December 4th at the Atwood Music Hall. Tom is going to drop by, tell us a little bit about his experience on the movie. It was sure fun having him a part of it. He is an actual comedic genius. So that'll be fun. And then Paul Vandenplas from Wonderfully Wisconsin will be here in hour number two. Paul has this great platform where he celebrates Wisconsin with food and scenery and iconic places that he visits and does such a great job. We love having him on the show. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome a very talented producer. He is one of the creative minds behind the new documentary, Bucky, which tells the story of the Wisconsin mascot, Mr. Grant Fenster. Hi, Grant. How are you?
I'm doing great, Peter. How are you doing, man?
Doing very well. It's great to have you here tonight, and congrats on the documentary. That's a big accomplishment. Anytime you can finish a film, that's something to be said for that.
Yeah, that helps.
Absolutely. Do you have a favorite Thanksgiving side, Grant, before we move on?
Oh, my wife's sweet potato dish. It's like mashed sweet potatoes with like oatmeal and brown sugar and marshmallows on top.
Oh my gosh.
Of the dessert. Yeah.
I'm literally salivating right now. That sounds great. So it's good to meet you. Why don't we just jump right in, Grant? Tell us a little bit about, I mean, the title kind of speaks for itself, and it's one of those movies that lends itself to a one-line log line. But take us a little deeper. Tell us about the documentary and how it came to be.
Sure. Yeah. Bucky. I mean, that name says it all in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, he's the symbol of our state. Obviously, the mascot for the sports teams. But I think what's great about Bucky is he kind of embodies, you know, what Wisconsin's about. And so, you know, we got the idea to do a doc on Bucky. It was just, you know, we're always looking for Wisconsin stories for PBS Wisconsin. And looking around, I just, you know, I'm from Wisconsin. Like, Bucky's always been a part of my life. But then you're trying to generate ideas, and just like, when you start looking around, like, his face is everywhere. Like, even on the horseradish jar at the grocery store. So we thought, hey, let's dig into his past, see what's there, and see if we can give it that historic PBS look, but then also kind of capture some of the fun cultural stuff with Bucky as well. So that's what we tried to do, is dig into his past and how he's tied to state identity, from, you know, even why we are the Badgers to begin with, why Wisconsin is the Badger state, and how it formed into Bucky as the symbol of all that.
Was there an era, Grant, as to or a time period when Bucky actually became iconic? Like, I know that he's been around longer than I think the Badger was our state animal or state mascot or whatever you want to call it. When did Bucky become the iconic Bucky, if you will?
The past gets a little sticky, because you think it's going to be just this one roaring thing that's going to bring him on the scene, but it's kind of a collective group of things that will grow. So the first like Bucky drawing that we know of Bucky was drawn in 1940, and then that showed up on an athletics department publication in 48, and then two UW students originally from the Sheboygan area decided to bring Bucky to life and then turned him into the mascot. And then it just grew from there. And 70s and 80s, I think, you know, we have to like dig through like a bunch of old newspapers and stuff to like find all this information on him. That's when you really started seeing him on like merchandising, and, you know, people are selling Badger and Bucky t-shirts in the newspaper. And then obviously when we hit the 90s and then that first 94 Rose Bowl, like that's when it went to the stratosphere.
Oh, that's great. You say in the trailer I was watching, you call Bucky a symbol of hope and pride and an example of what the state is all about. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. Yeah. Bucky's, you know, his personality, I mean, obviously he's quiet. He doesn't say much, but.
What is a he, just to clarify?
Well, there's been female Buckys, but I think, you know, it's a made up character. I think he is fine. We know of at least three women that have portrayed Bucky that were part of the Bucky team, which is exciting. We actually interviewed one in the doc, Roseanne Donovan. So we're excited to have her. And then she'll be with us live when we do this on December 2nd, when we air it for our pledge night. So Roseanne's going to share some stories with us. But yeah, he's, you know, Bucky is, he's whimsical, he's fun loving, he works hard, he just has all these kind of like quintessential Wisconsin lunch pail qualities, you know, and he's reflective of the sports teams, the same kind of thing. It's not flashy, but it's getting the job done. And I think it's just really indicative of Wisconsin.
So let's talk about that. You said some women have been Bucky, some men. It sounds like there have been more than one periodically or during. What are the qualifications? Like, if I wanted to be Bucky, do I have to be a student at Madison? Do I just have to have a great personality or be able to do push-ups after a touchdown? Like, what are the requirements, so to speak?
All of those. So you have to be a student at UW. Okay. They hold tryouts in April, and the Bucky team, so it's they usually have between 6 and 8 kids or students that portray Bucky Badger. So they're a team, and then they switch who's going to be the mascot at any given time. And that falls under the Spirit Squad director. So Josette Hauschen, she's in charge of the cheerleaders, the dance team, and then the Bucky Badger team. So in April, she holds tryouts for Bucky at the field house. And then a bunch of Bucky, former Buckys, Bucky alum that are still in the area come out and help her do the judging. So they do like a push-up station. They do an elevator where the cheerleaders pick you up and then have to lift you up in the air. They do an improv thing with props where you have to take a prop and you can't use it for its intended use. So like, say there's a broom, you can't start sweeping with it. You can play it like a guitar, that kind of thing. They want to see how you can improv. And then there's a dancing section. Since Bucky's got so many dance moves, they'll have some music on and they'll put that through. And they do that the first night. And then they kind of winnow it down from there. And then they do another round of interviews and then even skating, because they always want to have a couple of Buckys that can skate, so that way they can do the women's and men's hockey games. So then they pick them in April and then start training them over the summer, and then by the fall it's all go.
I absolutely love this. My guest is Grant Fenster. He is one of the producers and creative minds behind the documentary Bucky, which tells the story of the Wisconsin mascot. You can check this out December 2nd on PBS Wisconsin. Grant, it's nice to be speaking to a fellow PBS Wisconsinite. I've been hosting there for several years now, and it's always nice to meet my PBS Wisconsin brethren, because I blow into town, do my stuff, and get out. So I never get to put a face with anybody. So it is great to have you here. What if I wanted to be Bucky and I crush the audition and I'm a student, but I can only do one push-up? Is that a problem?
Yeah, you're probably out. I guess you're out.
I appreciate your honesty.
Because they need Bucky to, like, Bucky cannot fail at those push-ups at the football game, right? So,
right.
And then just talking, you know, we interviewed some of the Buckys that are on the Bucky team, and they were saying, you know, ramping up for the summer, they try to do 100 push-ups a day, right? So they're trying to be in form when they, you know, get to those football games. And then there was a game against Indiana in 2010 where the Badgers won like 83-17 or 20 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I don't know the exact math. I've got it written somewhere, but it was like 570 some odd pushups that Bucky had to do. So you don't know what's going to happen. A little less this year, but they're ramping it back up. So,
oh boy, I hope so. So is this a big competition every year? Like when they do these tryouts, do they have to recruit people, or is that not an issue at all? Like, you got hundreds of guys and girls showing up trying to be Bucky. How does that work?
There was about 50. We filmed this last April at the tryouts. There's about 50 UW students that showed up, and Josette seemed pleased with that turnout. So I think it kind of depends on the year and how they're getting the word out. I think they're always actively trying to recruit, because obviously you want the best kids on the team. So
Is there, like, if you were around all these people, do you notice a similarity in their personality types, or are they all come from like a, you know, parkour background, or are they good students? Are there similarities or themes in the personality?
Yeah, I think that's fair. The Bucky team, they're very, I don't know how to describe it beyond, they're just good kids. They care about what they're doing. They're responsible. Anytime we'd film with them, we'd go through Josette, their boss, and then they would take it over. So like scheduling and where we needed to get them, you know, responding to emails, like she's training them beyond just being Bucky. It's just how to operate in the world, if you will. And it's fun, because, you know, so many times when you do documentaries, you interview the historian and the guy that wrote the book, and you need those parts, but a lot of times that can be a little slower, right? So then we interviewed a series of Buckys from like the 70s, 80s, and 90s in the doc. And what was fun was that you know, I didn't expect it. I should have thought about it, but it's obviously these people are extroverted, right? So the interviews are just a ton of fun to sit down and gab with them. And one of the Buckeyes we interviewed from the late 70s was Mike Koval, who used to be the chief of police in Madison. So
I saw
for a
that,
while, yeah. Madison Buckey was the chief of police in Madison.
I love that. Let me ask you this. Okay, so is it tough? You've got Buckey. You got this great brand. You've got UW-Madison. And, Aaron, are we going to break, Aaron, already?
We got about 50 seconds.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to let you soak this question in, Grant. How you made this fresh? Because it'd be probably easy just to tell the story of Buckey. But as a filmmaker, how did you add things into it that would take it to another level? Because that's always a challenge for any filmmaker. So my guest is Grant Fenster. He's one of the producers of Buckey, which you can see December 2nd on PBS Wisconsin, a fine outlet. We're coming back to talk more with Grant after this. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Coming up later in the show, folks, Thomas Lennon will be here from Reno 911, and he was also in The Godfather of Green Bay, which we are screening next week on the 4th. He'll talk about his experiences with me directing him, even though he didn't really need any direction whatsoever. And then Paul Vandenplas from Wonderfully Wisconsin will be here at 6:35, a great platform that Paul created, and he will make you proud to be a member of the Badger State, as will the film Buckey, a great documentary that you can check out December 2nd on PBS Wisconsin. And joining me now on the stream is Grant Fenster, one of the producers of the of this really fun sounding documentary. So, Grant, before the break, I asked you what were your challenges other than just saying, here's Buckey, here's how it started? Like, what did you do to try to keep it fun as a director or as a producer, I should say?
Sure. Yeah. We wanted to obviously get into Buckey's history and go straight to the source as best as we could. And then we also wanted to make sure we tapped into, like, what is the heart of Buckey? Why do we all love him? And how is it kind of transcend generations? So on the history end, we interviewed the son and the daughter of the student who decided to turn Buckey from a drawing into a mascot, and then the daughter of the first Buckey Badger. And so the creator of Buckey, if you will, Bill Soxey, his son did an audio interview with him in probably like 2003, and he has since passed away. So we were able to use that audio in the documentary, and we hear about how Buckey came to life, you know, from the first person. And then as far as like getting to the heart of Buckey is stuff that Buckey does and represents. We'll interview these Buckeyes from different decades, again, 70s, 80s, 90s, current, and they all have a shared experience, right? So it's like, as Buckey, they'll experience some of the same things. So if it's like, obviously being at sporting events and how exciting that is, but other stuff where the stuff that we usually don't see, it's like doing a visit at the children's hospital, right? And like how important that is, that a symbol that Buckey can be, and, you know, every one of them to his T said that that was the best part about being Buckey, was doing that. You know, obviously they're not talking, you know, from different generations, but they all landed on that same thing. So it's fun seeing that shared experience from their point of view.
That's pretty cool. We have a text here on the stream. I don't know if you can see it, Brant, from Terry Barr, who does kind of everything here at Civic Media, including writing great features. And she says, I love this. I created a slice of Wisconsin about Buckey. That's something Terry does here at the network. She says
it was cool.
1 minute feature. So this documentary is going to be amazing. I agree, Terry. And
we're excited to share it. We're excited to get it out there. You know, there's stuff with like Buckey's past, you know, you hear different stories, but trying to drill down on what's what. So we even, you know, get behind where his name came from. You know, there's different stories about that, but from the guy who named him, we've got, you know, that story in the doc. So there'll be some enlightening things about that, and then just hopefully make everyone proud to be a Badger.
Let's talk about that. Like, this was interesting. I have it here in my notes somewhere. It sounds like Bucky was the mascot before the Badger was technically our state animal. Did I get that right? And if so, why or how did that happen?
Nope, that's actually not correct.
Okay.
It was the state animal. So like why we are Badgers, right, is because of the miners. So like in the 1820s in southwestern Wisconsin, there were lead ore miners there, and they would dig into the ground, obviously, and burrow into the ground to get the lead ore. And they were kind of basically transient. So a lot of times they weren't building homes. So they would live in the mine shafts, right? Mm. So they got coined the Badgers. And then by 1848, we become a state. And then on the state seal is the Badger on top of it. So it's always been linked to Wisconsin. And then the university, their first football team was in 1889. And then shortly thereafter, they're known as the Fighting Badgers right away. And then the furthest back we can find a student from 1901 named Babe Lloyd Spencer. And he would bring live Badgers to football games. So we'd have it on a leash. And we found photos of this guy. He's from Evansville, Wisconsin. And he was a heck of a character. And he was basically the first mascot. And then that continued into the 40s. They'd randomly bring a Badger to Camp Randall, but it's not a domesticated animal by any stretch.
Sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, there were some incidents. So then they ended up retiring him in 48, and then 49 is when the Bucky, as we know him today, the mascot. Obviously, visually, he's changed over the years because it was a paper mache head, and they put it on a cheerleader. And at that time, it was just all male cheerleaders. So the head of the cheerleader squad, Bill Sagal, was the first Bucky Badger. So then he wore the head. They debuted at a pep rally for homecoming in 1949, and then at Camp Randall the next day.
That is so great. Grant, can we keep you for a few more minutes after the news? Would you mind sticking around?
Sure,
for a few more
absolutely.
Minutes? I want to close up on this. Then I want to ask you about another really cool documentary you made about Supper Club. So we'll do all that with our guest, Grant Fenster, who is the producer of Bucky, which you can check out December 2nd on PBS Wisconsin, the history of the Wisconsin mascot. It's narrated by the one and only Charlie Behrens. Sounds like just an absolute blast of a documentary and something to make you feel great about Wisconsin. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side? Melissa from the 608 says, all the desserts from Turkey Day are my favorite. All right, that's a good answer, Melissa. Thank you very much. Tom in the 262 says, strawberry rhubarb pie. Oh, that's another. I forgot about pie, Aaron. You could have said pumpkin pie.
Yeah, you know, I guess I was thinking of desserts as separate from size, but that was a mistake. It was a dire mistake.
All right. Jim from Appleton in the 920 says, cranberries, number one side, tart, tangy, the perfect counter to all that turkey and glop. And Brett from the 920 says, my favorite Thanksgiving side of Trump's impeachment. I mean stuffing. All right, keep those texts coming, folks. We will read them on the radio. We're coming back with more with Grant Fenster.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.